So honored when our live stream audience just gets a hold of us some way and how God's using our setting to bring a blessing to you personally. Thank you. Let your light shine for Jesus where you're at, but do let us know what's going on. So you're here with us in Huntington Beach and in this beautiful setting called Hope Chapel. Can we just acknowledge our live stream audience? Can we just say you are a part of us? It really is important. But we so want you to be a part of things here in person. I had a person just this morning, they were just constantly watching us from France, but they've been with us in person for the many, many weeks, and they just said they've missed the in-person times with us. And how many would say that's important? In-person interaction and sensing the move of the Holy Spirit. We'll get a chance at the end of the message, Lord willing, that we'll open up the microphone for vocal gifts of the Spirit, because we are charismatic people. And if you are visiting with us today, maybe that's going to be the word that you needed to hear. It's going to be important for you and for me. It is Veterans Weekend, though, and we've had a wonderful men's breakfast. I want to thank our director, Ben Cowart, for just putting those things together. A number of our wonderful, distinguished men and women who serve in our armed services over the years of their life. But if you're a veteran here this morning, could you just please stand up? And we'd like to acknowledge you and thank you and just say thank you for that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. So grateful. So grateful for you men and women. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to just launch into things here. I hope that you have your bulletin card. Would you make sure that you have that and are ready to make some notes? Going to be important for us because this is the last week of our life groups, and you really want to go out with a flare this week, don't you know? Yeah. If you're going to join a life group, this would be the week to do it, as they before they go on a holiday break. Because, you know, FYI, a lot of them have food this week. So it would be good for us. Heard a cute story that a young 9-year-old went out into the church foyer and paused to reflect on this wall with very small little photographs all over the wall with flags behind each or the side of each one. And the pastor came up and said, "Young man, do you have a question? What you're looking at?" He said, "Well, sir, what is this?" He said, "Well, these are men and women who have died in the service." And the boy's eyes opened wide. He said, "What's wrong, young man?" He said, "Well, did they die in the 8:30 service or the 10:30 service?" Hang with us. We'll make sure we get you out on time. Hey, how many know we are in a series? It's entitled A Grateful Hotspot in My Heart. That is the series that we are in. We are going through that series this whole month. Why not? It's our grateful November Thanksgiving month. And last Sunday, we started off with a challenge. And I don't know if you have your card, and you could just make one right at home, and somebody has been doing that, so grateful for that. But it's our 21 days of gratitude challenge, 21 days. So we're going to end on the 25th. We started last Sunday, which was the 5th. So what a great thing to do. I don't know if you've ever have done something, your heart just wasn't in it. Your heart was not in it. And man, that's probably all of us. I mean, you could take a look at those times you come home and your spouse says, "Honey, could you help with the children's homework?" And you are exhausted. Heart's not in it. Or the possibility, maybe you're here today at church. Like, you know, I'll show up. Yeah, but my heart's not in it. We do those things. We show up. And sometimes just our heart's not really in it. Or at work, and your heart's not really in it when the supervisor asks you to do something. It's just not there. But we want to consider doing something, and that is this challenge. Because of that, we are believing the Lord will give you a breakthrough. Say, "Well, my heart's not in it." I would encourage you to reconsider and jump on board and do something. What does that look like? It's just one aspect per day. You see, I haven't filled mine out. I just do one at a time. I didn't go and fill it all out because I would not reflect on any one of those. It's just like I've got way too much. You know what my gratitude is for today on the 12th of November? It's the church. I love the church of Jesus. I love everything about church life. I'm a churchman. I love being at church. I love you are the church. You make my day happy. You're the reason why I do what I do. Jesus called us the church. The church is made up of what? Called out people. That's what it means. Ecclesia, called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. Church. The Greeks used that for their deliberation of assembly. But we're the church. Oh, and I just love it. You. And I love the privilege that God somehow lets me be a little under shepherd to just help guide and direct the church. I'm grateful for the church. I'm grateful we get a chance to come into our settings, whether it's small life groups or the larger corporate settings. I wish our rooms were a little bigger to fit everybody. I wish everybody on live stream would say, man, I benefit by being in person. So you are my gratitude today. I'm giving God thanks because of you. So with that, we're taking a look at part two today of our series, and it's entitled Resisting an Ocean of Negativity. Resisting an Ocean of Negativity. So we're going to be very positive. Here we go. Father, thank you. Anytime we reflect on you, talk to you, just good things happen. So Lord, please let that happen for everyone listening and sitting in. Change our attitude and let it reflect our actions, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's get something to write with. Here we go. Isn't it interesting? We all know negativity is everywhere. It does not take us long to come across just an environment of negativity. Media, social media, everybody is posting predominantly complaining about something, very little positive things. The area of just news media. If you were to take a look at news and you say, well, I'll just get my news for 30 minutes in the evening. Seems like you have this majority of time talking about crime and political drama and violence, and then they snip in a 3-minute little feel-good segment to somehow eradicate everything you just heard. Or how about going to work? If you've been to work at any kind of a setting, you'll hear people complain about the supervisor, complain about the workload, complain about the co-workers, complain about their commute. I mean, it's out there. So we take a look at an ocean of negativity, and I'm trying to say, could we just put one little hot spot down per day? You could see it's going to be quite challenging for the people of God. Now, I would just encourage anybody that doesn't know Jesus, we're not talking church, but know Jesus, that's the starting point. Because then if you start to enjoy and experience him, it's going to be wonderful. But I find myself struggling with negativity because I'm in an environment with that. And it starts to affect me. It does. So that is not just something currently. It just seems to be an ebb and flow, being around people. And negativity reflects and comes out in what's called complaining or complaint. So you can see if a person is being negative because they complain quite a bit. And we have to be careful because when we are attempting to resist negativity, that's where it will start to come out with us. Now, what is complaining? By definition, it's expressing our emotional and intellectual dissatisfaction without any personal responsibility. It's not my fault. I'm not going to do anything about it, but it's now a complaint. And that's just what complaining is. There is a difference between complaining and people that are trying to resolve something. For example, we haven't heard this happening at all. It shouldn't, but somebody might say, well, you know, the break room free snacks that are out there in the courtyard, are you aware that those things are high-carb, sugary pastries that a few of us cannot eat? And that'd be a complaint. Where somebody might come along and say, you know what, I'd like to volunteer and bring a tray of vegetables from Albertsons every week. That sounds great, doesn't it? So that can happen. There's a difference there. So when we deal with and understand, some people might say, well, you know, I am just, that's just the way I am. I'm just complaining. I come from a long line of complainers. That's just in my DNA. And, well, you know, Jesus didn't die to keep us the way we are. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He really has something better for every person.
Yes, sir.
And so as we take a look at the topic today, resisting an ocean of negativity, I don't know if it's possible, but here are some things I have found very helpful. Because I'm in an ocean of negativity. That's why I love the church. It's the only positive thing. We got answers for society, but you and I have to go out there. So let's take a look. Some reasons why we want to be careful about being negative or hanging out with complainers. Number one, complaining destroys your testimony for Jesus. That's a big one. Let's begin here, and I'm going to open my Bible. I'm in the New Living Translation, but it's Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14, let's check it out together. Would you join me? It says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So as we take a look just for a moment, so when we are complaining, it's really kind of an attitude that starts to filter and surface. Scripture says, do everything without complaining. Why? Because you will not shine bright like a light in a dark society. You're going to be just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. So the scripture says, do everything without complaining. Now, how can complaining make Jesus attractive to people who don't know him? Wouldn't that be? That's just a good question. How can somebody that I would want to invite to church after I complain about my spouse even want to go to my church? So we can see here it's important that it really knocks down our witness or our coworkers. Like, man, how would they want to be like Jesus when they hear Christians just complain? We have to be careful about that. So the Word of God exhorts us to do everything without complaining for the sake of who I or you represent. We represent Jesus. That's going to be important, and that's a good reason why we look at this point once again, like last week. Number two, complaining is a faithless response to circumstances. We look here at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. In the Old Testament, thank you, life group leaders. You led your groups well. You looked over the Exodus verses. Boy, the nation of Israel, they had a nasty habit of complaining, and it cost them. I would just want to tell, you know, 400 years of slave labor without pay, that can make somebody really grouchy and complain. Wouldn't you think it? They couldn't get over that. And they wanted God to provide for them through complaining. Where God just wanting us to faith it out and believe for him to come through. But what is critical is God at times can use adverse conditions and circumstances sometimes expose what really is in us, whether we're going to follow or obey him. And that's really true. You may want to take a look at in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Just write it down. 8:2. God says, I led you all these years in the wilderness, tried you, tested you to see if you would obey me or not. It's very clear. And that word test in the Greek is the word document. God was documenting. It's kind of like, if you're in school, we're going to have a quiz this Friday, and we're going to document whether you're learning anything or not. So it's important we get a chance to do that. James chapter 1 tells us as well, doesn't it? Boy, count it full of joy when you fall into various trials, because there's something that's being established and developed within you. So it's going to be important. Complaining is a faithless response to really just conditions and circumstances that we will come across. So when we take a look at number three, complaining is a fleshly response to adversity. What do we mean by that? Well, there's just ways that our human nature comes out when we're very uncomfortable. But there's a list of those natures in Galatians chapter 5. We'll take a look at verse 19. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, divisions. This is not an exhaustive list, but it is interesting that scripture here in Galatians says that our flesh, if it's run loose, these are some of the results of that. So complaining or just environments of negativity will result in things that we just know the Holy Spirit is out of commission. I think one of the indicators of a spiritually immature person is that they complain. That's just part of that. That's just one of those things. We need to just help disciple them and help them to realize we're not in heaven yet. We're not in a perfect society. But it is important that we take a look at that. So if you're always finding yourself complaining or negative, it's just an indicator you need to just grow up a little bit. And it would really be helpful to be able to do just that. Another thing is get filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says, man, if you're filled with the Spirit, it's a beautiful thing. Something about that's pretty awesome. Because the Spirit and your human nature or flesh, they do not work together. One or the other is going to be in opposition, or I should say in operation, while the other one is decommissioned. So to not keep your human nature in check, that's where the Holy Spirit really comes in. Hey, and another tip, just want to add that one. Reason the benefit of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and getting your prayer language. James says, Epistle of James, no man can tame the tongue. So you go and try it, you'll never get to that. But if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, get your new prayer language, huh? Hello, do I get a witness out there? Yeah, no, I should be a little louder than that. Like, yeah. Yeah, there it is. I'm telling you, everybody needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have evidence of speaking another language. It's a great gift, and it's very wonderful and rich. Number four, complaining results in God withholding blessings. Now, you and I kind of shared that a little bit, and it's like, well, come on. Well, some people use complaining to say, now I want God to bless me. But there's something about that we have to be really careful about constantly complaining. In Numbers, again, chapter 14, it's interesting because I feel, as I read the scriptures, as I've journeyed my own life with God, my complaining resulted in an unwillingness for me to follow God. That was the big indicator for me. I don't like this, and I hate what's happening here, and I'm not going to obey God, which, in essence, withholds blessings. Because you and I always know, remember, obedience equals blessing. So that's important why when I start, or any person starts to get into a negative area resulting in complaining, man, they may not get the blessings of God. He's got all the time in the world. He'll wait for you to come to the surface and participate. But check out Numbers 14, 29. Because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now he's referring to the 12 spies. And be careful, you got to be careful. Sometimes the majority committee may not be God's will. 10 of the spies came back with a very negative, we can't take this land. And these two dudes, Caleb and Joshua, God's with us, man. Let's go at it now. So you can understand that. This is thought. But complaining results in an unwillingness. Why? Why? Is God unwilling to bless us when we just kind of complain and are negative? Because we're just not going to obey his word. We just don't. I'm not. I don't like it. It's not what I want to do. I'm not going to do it. So we complain, and it's putting more faith probably in circumstance and the way I feel about things than really in what God might want us to do. And I want to be blessed. Man, if God says, go forgive that person and God will bless me. I'm going to do that because God's the issues of my life, and I'm glad for that. So ask God to bless you, but if you are asking in complaining and then you want God to bless, I hate it here, and then God bless me, there's going to be some challenges. So you got to be careful. Number five, complaining multiplies negativity. This is an observation I have seen in my own journey. Two negatives do not equal a positive. Anybody do math? So negative circumstance with a negative response does not equal a positive outcome. I would probably tweet that if you had access to that. Just tell your friends, hey, you out there who are complaining. But got to be careful. You will never be able to complain yourself into a better situation or mood. Have you tried it? Have you tried to complain yourself into a better mood? I've sat with people over the years like, man, you've told 12 people about what so-and-so did. How do you feel? I feel lousy. I'm going to probably hit another 12. Why? Why? Spread that misery. So complaining multiplies negativity. Doesn't make you feel any better. Matter of fact, it causes negativity in your heart. Got heart issues then in your mind. And above all, you find yourself, you're alone. You're all by yourself. You're all by yourself. Oh, it breaks my heart. And it's not your fault, I know. Everybody in prison is innocent. So it's difficult. We get a chance. Bible says in Galatians 6:7, can write that down, that whatever we harvest what we've planted. What you sow, you reap. So that's where we start to see those things. It does not equal what we really want to see happen. So complaining will always make the situation worse. That's my observation. And I know that that'll be a big, big help for you. So it's going to be important. So how do we resist negativity? Just don't. There you go. Are we done? Okay, here we go. Let's take a look at this. Because how can we? It really seems almost impossible with an ocean of negativity all around us. So here we go. Number one, limit exposure to negativity where you can. I like Proverbs chapter 4. It really is a good one when it comes to that. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So you can protect what goes in to your heart. And usually the heart's that consciousness and your mind as well. You can't get away from all of it, but you can sure make better choices. Oh, I'm going to make better choices. Be careful about where I'm kind of hanging out with negative areas. One is just the media and social networking. Very careful. The exposure to social media news. Research is out there. It affects people. It affects people. I have found that when I read the news, I have a better approach at it than when I watch the news. That's my take. I still read. And I still have a good old paper and electronic papers, but reading does not affect me as much as watching it. Limit your exposure to negative people, too. Life is just too short and too hard to be around negative people. Why would I want to enhance that bad social element? Just limit yourself. So that's what we're dealing with here. Why do you want to be known as a negative person when that starts to affect you? Positive people are like magnets. People like you, if you're positive, you will have no limit to people wanting to hang out with you. And you don't have to make it up. You just like, man, I was at a place the other day and this person said, well, what do you think about Trump? And I said, well, you know, I don't want to talk about him, but let's talk about Jesus. And, oh, Paul, there you go again. You always want to talk about Jesus. Yeah. Come on. So that's just the way I roll. Number two, increase exposure to what is good. Increase. So we must be intentional in pursuing the right things. We don't just want to limit exposure to negative. We want to increase some input to positive things. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That would be great. Now, I'm sure you're all doing that. That's why we encourage life groups, small groups, ministries, where you're around people that are serving in similar capacities. It says here very clearly, it says, enjoy the companionship. There's a definition of that kind of companionship. People who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. That's wonderful to do that. So we must be intentional. That's that point. What would that look like? Well, pursue positive people who are trying to follow Jesus. You just know they just are working to live for God. Or pursue ministry that fulfills your shape, what you're designed to do. That's great fulfillment. It's very enjoyable. How do I go in that direction? Or you meet tangible needs of others. Feel good ministries. Feel good things. It's very encouraging and very uplifting. A ways to stem the tide of the ocean of negativity. It's what we're dealing with. That's the topic today. So when we become self-centered in our life, we really are becoming, people become very unhappy, very negative. And really, I'm so glad Jesus is outward thinking, and he's starting to change lives of people as well. Amen. Number three, pray through your difficulties. I like that. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. Worry, anxiety, complaining really goes hand in hand. I know people that really are, they don't have faith to see victory right where they're at. They have faith to move somewhere else, anywhere else. But where I'm at and who I'm married to. So I said, oh, let's just see God work something right where you're at. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, I just feel so much peace just reading that, don't you? Peace, 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 peace. Man, that's one of my solutions to just when things hit the fan, I can't control my circumstances around me often. But I can control how much I pray. I can control that. Therefore, I really don't want to go about my day without checking in with God. I find the early part of my day, it really needs to fit it in. Prayer. I was up at 4 today to pray. I enjoyed it because I knew I'm going to be doing some other things, but I didn't want to cut God out. I find that my earlier days when I got really busy going as a Bible college student, working the family print shop in Pasadena, trying to court my wife to be, I didn't have time for God. You know, isn't it when you're so busy, the holy things always get cut out. The sacred things always get cut out. Oh, God will understand. Really? Really? And then you find out, why am I feeling so wretched, broken, dilapidated, and nobody wants to hang out with me? Because I've cut out the things of God to make room for other things. But we know differently. I know we know, but because it's, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that we desire will be added to us. So pray through those difficulties. Prayer is my faith response to anything negative. And I come across a lot. But, boy, Jesus is my, he's my joy button, man. So get juiced up with Jesus, would you? Just try it. Number four, see circumstances through the eyes of faith. See circumstances. Now, this is something Jesus desires for every follower. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Remember that complaining is a faithless response. It really is. That's people never saw complaining in any form of big village like this, just human nature. But it really is. You just, a person does not feel that God is going to come through for them, so I'm going to complain. Now, anybody who wants to hear me, I'm going to let them know. But it is interesting because we see life through the good character of God. It changes everything. You see life through the Word of God. It changes everything. Those are the two main pillars. Everybody write down the character of God. The Word of God. You write that down. Because complaining is a faithless response. King David, he wrote most of the Psalms. And he would acknowledge the hardship and the pain he was going through. But he would always go after the Word of God. He would always go after the goodness of God or the character of God. He did not ignore, life stinks for me right now. Let me give you a couple examples. Here's Psalm 119, verse 143. Ainsley, I have a wonderful verse, 143. It says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Isn't that beautiful? What a great way to look at life. Pressure's all around me, but I got a mini vacation. I get to read the directives of the Lord. In Psalm 13, verse 2 and verse 5, it says this, how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? But I trust in your unfailing love. Glory to God. I just want to pause there. Just, Lord, thank you for your unfailing love. We express that today. There's a number of us that are saying, how long is this living arrangement going to last me, Lord? But I'm going to trust in your unfailing love. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like the fact, too, we get a chance. The Word of God creates the lens of faith. It's just so wonderful. Number five, choose your attitude every day. That's it. Just choose. It comes right down to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's where we kind of launched last Sunday, and we're going to have a good one next Sunday. Keeping gratitude in your pain. But let's look here. In verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, you know, I'm talking to Christians, and that's my desire. And maybe there are some of you who are just kind of determining where God's going to fit in your life, and that's good. I'm glad you're with us. That's a good thing, man. Journey and see where God's going to be. But for all of us who have made a declaration of faith and should have been water baptized by now, now it's that time that we get a chance to say, I'm going to choose the will of God and be thankful. That's why this 21 days of gratitude challenge is so important for us today. Take a look at things and list. I don't fill out the card because that might make me forget one of those. But for a particular day, I'm going to focus in on that subject matter. Today, I wrote in the church. I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. It makes me so happy, sad. Every time I think, I get to go to church. I'm so touched. God lets me lead a church. I'm just his little under-shepherd. But, man, the church, something he named, says, I'm going to build my church. He claims it. He protects it. And the gates of hell won't prevail. It's like, what? How blessed are we to be in church today? You can see there's a lot of opposition coming against something Jesus named as his. But I know I woke up saying, I get to go to church, and you're here today. You're here today. And you make me happy to see you. It does. It takes great skillfulness and determination to get into church. And And God will bless you for that. That's why I'm happy to see you. I just know you're going to have a great week because you gave some time to God today. I believe that. So it's going to be wonderful when we get a chance to do that. But we must be intentional to not allow negativity to affect us. Got to be intentional because it's coming. Got to be intentional to write that 21 days of gratitude down. We're going to pray. Let's pray right now. Shall we do that? Let's let the prophecies flow here in just a moment. Let's see if God has a prophetic word. But let me just lead right now. How can anybody change their approach in life unless they start with Jesus in their heart? And let me just lead this way. If you're here and you're following even now online, let me lead you in a prayer just to consecrate your life. But take a look at one area that seems to be the most problematic right now. That's something you haven't surrendered to the Lord. He's not Lord there. I don't know. You would know. You're saved, but Jesus says, make me Savior and Lord. We're saved. We're going to heaven. But he doesn't rule every corner of your life. The ones that you keep pulling back on, that seems to be the constant agonizing negative element in your life. So Lord, would you just move right now? Help us to see, help us to determine what you have in Jesus' name. And I would encourage you right now, if you're needing Christ in your life, would you just pray this prayer with me? Maybe all of you, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge today I need you. And I know you've died for me. I know you rose to life for me. And I thank you, Lord. And I ask you, Almighty God, forgive me of all my sins. Oh, there's so many. You know about them. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Come into every area of my life. I want to please you, Lord. I want to live for you and then go to heaven to be with you. So Lord, I thank you today. I am making you my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I would like to have you stand to your feet. Would you stand for a moment? John's going to lead us in a worship song. And I'm confident sometimes the Lord starts working through prophetic words. And maybe during our worship set, you who are in that break room at work, or maybe you're just in a break season of vacationing, and God spoke to you about a word, and you feel that's for Hope Chapel. Boy, we welcome that. You might just send that on over in the chat box as well. Pastor David's going to run a mic in a moment. We love the words of God. But if you prayed that prayer to just give everything in your life to the Lord, or maybe for the first time, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I prayed that prayer, and I meant that. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you. And I know the Lord's just working on our hearts, and I'm so grateful for that. That's what makes me so happy with what he's going to do in your life today and this week. So, Lord, thank you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.